T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talk a ton of heat, but can't forget our Dolphins. Go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Safeddin, he covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. You know, on Twitter, he made me laugh. I didn't know this stat. I imagine a lot of people did not know this stat. He tweeted out, quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick has a 69.5 passer rating. Nice. In games that he plays after he throws at least 3 interceptions, excluding 4 times where it came during a season finale. So a couple funny things here to me. 4 times Ryan Fitzpatrick has ended a season by throwing 3 interceptions. And you'd think, like, your thoughts about Ryan Fitzpatrick would say, oh, when he throws 3 INTs, he's going to come back with a dominating game the next week. But that apparently is not the case, because he only has the 69.5 passer rating in games after he throws the 3 INTs. So, anyway, did that surprise you too, Safid? Because I think everyone's thinking that this is going to be, you know, the opposite game this coming Sunday.
Well, I think that's definitely certainly the hope for Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 2 against the Bills coming up here on Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. But look, I wouldn't read too much into that stat. It is a funny stat. Maybe I tweeted out just for the number itself. You know how
nice.
I like to joke around on stuff like that, Hawk. But look, Ryan Fitzpatrick's had these performances kind of scattered all throughout his career. You know, we were talking about a 16-year vet, and he's only had 18 games in 156 total games where he's ever thrown 3 picks. So this doesn't happen often for Ryan Fitzpatrick at all by any means. The bounce back, though, is something that you definitely want to see, especially from him in this Dolphins offense. You know, they were unable to really convert on third down. They were unable to string together some drives on the field until probably the fourth quarter when they got on the scoreboard. But this offense needs to string together some more plays to help that defense out, to help the Dolphins defense get off the field, because you know, if Jerome Baker didn't have that stop at the goal line or the force that fumble, you know, this would have been a blowout for the Dolphins in week 1 at New England. And so there's improvements that need to happen all across the board for the Dolphins here after the opener.
Well, so with Fitzpatrick not playing very well, and if I'm not mistaken, Tua is no longer listed on the injury report with the hip. I'm not necessarily saying it happens anytime real soon, but if Fitz continues to play this way, Safid, at what point do you think it's going to be Tua time?
It shouldn't be any time sooner, man. It shouldn't be any time sooner, in my opinion. Look, Tua is just getting to the 10-month mark in his recovery from the hip injury. You know, he's healed completely. He's dealt, you know, he's participated, you know, in every practice and training camp. But there should be no reason to rush this kid onto the field right now. You know, look at, you know, especially against, you know, a Bills defense like this in week 2, a really, really, you know, experienced group, a group that will come after him. Like, Sam Darnold was running all over the field on Sunday, if you guys ever, you know, caught that game between the Bills and Jets last week. The Dolphins should not be in a rush to play Tagovailoa. They should not be in a rush to sit Ryan Fitzpatrick either. This is a role that Ryan Fitzpatrick has on this team, is to be the bridge quarterback, is to allow Tua to have some time to learn this offense on the bench, you know, for them to communicate and learn going forward at this time, and give Tua some more time for that hip to kind of gel and mend together. There should be no rush for this. You know, Tua is the future. He's not right now. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is a player that, you know, is at the tail end of his career. He can still play. Obviously, he had a bad week 1 performance, but you know, Brian Flores and this team, they really did a rally around him last season, and he deserves opportunity to play as well.
What did Fitzy have to say to the media this week, and what did Coach Flores have to say about Fitzy's performance on Sunday?
Yeah, Fitz was obviously really happy to get back out on the practice field today. You know, he mentioned that, you know, he didn't want to have a performance like this linger into next week. Obviously, you know, no player would, especially after how they played on Sunday. And, you know, Flo was very encouraging as well, too. You know, he said he believes Fitz can bounce back. He's a competitor. That competitive spirit is going to take him a long way. So I'm interested to see how this all, you know, pans out for the Dolphins in week two here. You know, you got a quick turnaround. And not only do you play the Bills on Sunday, you got a week three game against the Jaguars on next Thursday, too. So the Dolphins are in a stretch here where, you know, they're going to play two games in a matter of 9 days. They got the first Thursday night game against the Jaguars in week three. And after week one, it looks like they have a lot of things to do on both sides of the football. So Brian Flores and his team, they definitely have their work cut out for them to start the season. That's for sure.
Devontae Parker limited in practice today. Is your expectation he plays this week? And do we know how close he might be to 100%?
I'm not sure how close he may be to 100%. I know the injury, the hamstring injury that he had, kept him out of practice for most of the end of training camp. So I would say towards, you know, the end of August time. He was practicing last week. The injury probably flared up for him a little bit in the second half against the Patriots. But all indications, he practiced in full pads today. He was a limited participant. I expect him to continue to be limited and see if he can be ready to go on Sunday. But, you know, the Dolphins have an interesting, you know, situation here. And I asked Flo about it today. They're going to take it day by day with Devontae. But, you know, with that two-game stretch, like I mentioned, in the next 9 days, if it flares up again on Sunday, he may not play next Thursday. Maybe, you know, if him sitting out may be the best outcome for the team, you know, after week three. So we'll see. The Dolphins are taking this at a day-by-day approach. And, you know, these hamstring injuries, they're definitely something that are sensitive. You know, a couple days go by, you feel great, and then one long run, you could definitely pull it again. So it's a situation to definitely keep an eye on.
Safid Dean, he covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Crowder pointed out on Monday that the receiving game was very limited once Devontae Parker was out of the game on Sunday. They're going to have to put up some points, right? I mean, the offense is going to have to put up some points. Crowder was a little confused by the number of carries Miles Gaskins was getting at the expense of maybe the other running backs that are a little more high profile. What did Coach Flo say about that?
Yeah, the Dolphins are going to have a you know, kind of a committee approach with that running back situation. I think we all didn't expect Miles Gaskin to have 9 carries. He did provide a little spark. I mean, 40 yards was the leading total for the Dolphins rushers. So, you know, he did provide a little bit of a spark there. And they also have him running in a two-back set with Patrick Laird, where Gaskin was able to catch some passes out the backfield too. So that did help. But Matt Breida should definitely get some more work in this game. I think he didn't get into the Patriots game probably with like 6 minutes left in the second quarter. So that definitely wasn't ideal. And Jordan Howard, I think he had 7 carries for 8 yards. So that was very reminiscent of the Dolphins' run game last season, but he did have that touchdown in the game. Receiving, obviously, Devontae, he went out. The offense was certainly limited. The third quarter, I think they only had one drive, so that didn't help at all. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, he has to, you know, get some better chemistry going with Preston Williams there. Preston had 7 targets. He only had 2 catches. He also had 2 pass interference calls that were against the defense that helped the Dolphins move the football. And the first interception was thrown Preston's way, and he slipped during that play too. So they tried to get Preston going. They tried to get us some targets. It just didn't work out for them in week one. Hopefully, you know, it works out for the Dolphins in week two. They'll probably continue that approach again and try to get the ball in Preston's hands as well. But yeah, if Devontae's limited, they're going to have to spread the ball around. You look at guys like Isaiah Ford and Jakeem Grant, Mike Gesicki as well. They're going to have to spread the football around. And I think that's what maybe happened with the Dolphins offense on Sunday against the Patriots. They tried to spread it around a little bit too much. Everybody got a touch, but nobody really got into a rhythm, including Fitzpatrick, and it hurt the Dolphins.
So on Sunday, I watched what Cam Newton did in his debut in New England. I also watched what Tommy Brady did in his debut in Tampa Bay. So, and I don't want to completely knee-jerk to 1 week, but do you get the feeling that Bill Belichick may end up looking pretty smart for letting Brady walk at this point, or do you think Brady's going to end up bouncing back and having a sensational year?
I think it's probably a little bit of both, you know. I think you have some long marriages between Brady and Belichick, and, you know, that obviously had to end after 20 years. I don't know how you know, those guys, they made it last that long because they were winning, and winning does cure a little bit of everything. But I think you saw, even with that Dolphins, when the Dolphins won the season-ending game there last year, and then how they performed against the Titans last season in that first playoff game, it kind of seemed like everybody was on the way out or checking out a little bit. And so maybe some change was probably good for both parties. Cam Newton definitely looked the part. He looks like a former MVP, you know, especially how he ran all over the Dolphins defense on Sunday. You know, that zone read was really hard for the Dolphins defense to kind of defend. And, you know, he's still going to be a runner. He's still going to be who he is. That's Cam being a runner and a passer, being dynamic like that, is what helped him become one of the best quarterbacks in the league throughout his career. And, you know, Brady is obviously going to bounce back. First game, first time in Bruce Arians' offense, learning all those weapons in a real setting against a real team, they'll definitely bounce back too.
So, Soffit, if I'm not mistaken, you were in Foxborough covering the game in person, right?
Yes, I was. I was there.
Well, so I wanted to ask you what that experience was like, because I'm sure you've never had that in an NFL game before, where you're literally in an empty stadium covering, you know, a big Sunday game. Like, what was that like? Was it a little surreal?
Yeah, it was a little surreal. I mean, first of all, there was no fans, so traffic was great. You know, me and Dave Hyde got to the stadium, no problem. And that part, and then when you get to the stadium and there's nobody else around besides security, it's just a little eerie. You get into the press box and everything's all plexiglassed up, and I have a little section, you know, to myself. The crowd, there's no crowd, obviously, so there's just no noise. Nobody's reacting to everything. The Patriots, they play Crazy Train, you know, before every game by Ozzy Osbourne, and it didn't hit the same because the fans aren't there to react. And, you know, Cam Newton scored the first touchdown, and you scored the second touchdown where you had a collision with Jerome Baker. You know, there's no reactions after big plays. Ryan Fitzpatrick did say there was a swing in the game when Baker had the forced fumble at the goal line and the Dolphins came back and scored. You know, there was a momentum swing there. Those are things that you could feel. The fans feel it. Everybody feels it. The players felt it in the game, and they were able to score there too. So it didn't affect that part of the game. But you like to hear the reactions from the fans. You like to, you know, get a feel of how the teams are going to react because of how the fans react to what's going on in the field too. So we'll see how it goes on Sunday in Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins, you know, are going to allow 13,000 fans in. Hopefully everybody stays safe. Hopefully everybody keeps their distance or around their group. You know, they wear their masks. They take advantage of the, you know, the ordering food and things from the concession stand on their app. You know, and obviously keep your face covered. And hopefully nobody comes to the game if they are sick. So, you know, we'll see how the fans show out on Sunday. The Dolphins could use it. They could use some home field advantage. They could use the hot stuff, Florida Heat, against the Bills in week two. And we'll see how this goes for the Dolphins on Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different on Sunday because the 13,000 fans will be there. Safed Dean will be there as well. And hopefully they'll get on the winning track. So nothing major to report, obviously, from camp today or from anything that's transpired since Sunday, right? It was a loss. I don't think they were expecting that kind of game out of Cam Newton. They move on to Buffalo, and no changes in the plans, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. But, you know, looking at Buffalo's game against the Jets on Sunday, this looks like a team. You can see from the two games that I watched between the Bills and between the Dolphins certainly look like a team that has a lot of new pieces. They're trying to acclimate a lot of new players into this, you know, offense and the defense. You applaud them for the moves that they made in the offseason, and now the time is to make it work. And when you look at the Bills, they definitely looked like a team on Sunday against the Jets, where they were in the playoffs last season and they're looking to take the next step into the playoffs again this season. So there's definitely two different dynamics with the teams going on here before Sunday's game. We'll see how it all unfolds on Sunday.
What was fun to watch how bad the Jets looked, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
you couldn't see anything of Gase's face because his face was all covered up by the mask and stuff. But it was just great just to see every time anything happened, the camera's just always going to Gase, and he's always just looking up the scoreboard or itching his neck or something. That part is always great to me.
Yeah, I mean, how do you have this narrative that you're this offensive quarterback genius, but you never have any proof other than, oh, Peyton Manning happened to be a really good quarterback and I was standing around him? Anyway, different segment, different day. Safed Dean, read his work in the Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com. I always implore you, download the Sun Sentinel app. And if you are not a subscriber or digital subscriber to the Sun Sentinel, I highly recommend you do so because they really do good work. Outside of even just sports, they do good work. So thank you for making time for us, Safed. We always appreciate it.
Of course. I encourage you to not only apply to, you know, subscribe to us, also the Palm Beach Post and the Miami Herald, help us all out here in South Florida. But also, Hawk, you know what, Donald and Crowder, they do a lot of lifting you up too, man. I don't know how you get this great reputation. You're kind of like Ace out here hanging around all the good guys, you know?
I just try to go under the radar. I try to surround myself with good talent, and one day someone will figure it out, and then I'll be exposed.
See you, Safed. Anytime, man. I appreciate you guys.
See you, man. Safed Dean from the Sun Sentinel there. He's on to me, but no one else is.
Hey, keep, it's a good gig if you can get it.
Good gig if you can keep fooling them.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.